Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Oh yeah, it's fashion time. Good morning, Penelope Noir. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm super excited about today because we've been thinking about this one for a while. The evolution of camouflage, how we went from colourful old military uniforms, which we were talking about last week, to our now invisible people.
Yes. So we kind of left off maybe kind of the medieval period was the latest that we discussed. And so I wanted to look into how the modern uniform kind of like evolved. And originally in medieval times, most of the people that were fighting, you know, were wearing armor if they were wealthy, or if they were, you know, peasants, they were wearing their own clothes and wandering out with a pitchfork. But during the 30 Years' War from 1618 to 1648, that kind of marked the beginning of modern military uniforms in Europe. Mm-hmm. Gustavus Alfdus of Sweden introduced simple functional coats that were blue, yellow and grey, and then sashes and scarves or ribbons. And they were kind of the first, the Swedish army were kind of the first to standardise what the soldiers wore. Mm. Whereas other soldiers kind of wore a mix of their own clothes. And initially, the colours for different armies were chosen for visibility on the field. Because, you know, I remember we were talking about how people used to go and meet in the middle of a field and to have, you know, the battle as opposed to kind of sneaking up on each other. Mm. And the British army was known for their red coats. And so that was obviously so they could see each other in the smoke of the battlefield, but they wore different coloured sashes and badges, or different colours of lapels, cuffs and collars to let people, you know, to kind of tell which regiment they were in, like if they were artillery or, you know, on horseback, I've forgotten what that is right now, cavalry, that's what it is. But some of the colours were very bright, like white, blue, yellow and green. Which, I don't know, it just seems kind of crazy to me. But in the Napoleonic era, which is 1793 to about 1815, this is kind of when you think of films like Pride and Prejudice and, you know, Bridgerton and things like that. This is where the officers were wearing tight-fitting uniforms and they were in extravagant gold or silver braiding. And while regular soldiers wore less extravagant uniforms, they were still very kind of smart and tight-fitting, but they were pretty much restrictive in battle.
Yeah, you'd want to move around. I feel like that was the thing we garnered from last week, was the more free-flowing, the kind of better it looked.
Yeah. Mm. And like when we look at, you know, there's also kind of when you look at it, there were kind of officers' uniforms and some of them were white. You had white pants, and you know, they wore that uniform to fight in as well as kind of a dress uniform. Whereas, like modern day, they have the various different uniforms. They'll have a dress uniform, and then the one that they, you know, go out in the open with. You know, in the second half of the 19th century, uniforms changed from colour to camouflage. The British regiments in India started wearing khaki in the 1840s. A guy called Harry Lumsden, who was looked after the corps of guides, brought up a whole lot of white cotton from a market there and then got his troops to rub mud into it in the river so it coloured the white fabric to make his men kind of invisible in the desert, he kind of called it. Mm. And before World War I, Germany was the centre of synthetic dyes, and they were the people that the only khaki dye was available for British uniforms. So it was manufactured in Germany and secretly imported into Britain during the First World War.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but in 1914, the British ran out of khaki, and so they had to wear serge blue uniforms that were made of the postal workers' uniform fabric. So they, yeah, so that all of a sudden they were wearing this weird blue. The other thing that's quite interesting is that during, and I thought I'd expand on this next week, there were official knitting patterns for the general population because they were knitting for the people at the front. But they were knitting whatever they wanted, like hats and socks and things in different colours. So they had to kind of like put some rules in place, like using khaki wool and specific stitches to make the clothing comfortable. And then, of course, World War II uniforms were in various shades of grey and khaki and things like that. But camouflage initially came in earlier than that, about 1914, and it was originally developed for military equipment. And it kind of coincides with the rise in the Air Force, because what they were doing was trying to hide the equipment from the air. And so a French guy called Lucien Victor Gérald de Scovilla is credited for leading the French efforts in camouflage. So they had kind of like a few artists working on it. The Italian army were the first to mass produce camo in three colours in 1929. And of course, we know that the modern camo is adapted to different terrains and it's now pretty much a standard.
Wow. Yeah. It is fascinating when you look at the timeline side by side of how the fashion has evolved according to how the sort of warfare and the scale of battle and yeah, military sort of techniques have changed as well. It does help to explain it all.
Yeah. It's quite, you know, it's kind of like it's not a great topic because no one likes war, but yeah. It's interesting how you know, it does, yeah, reflect how technology has influenced the battlefield as well, you know. Yeah, just going like we were talking about armour and things like that through to, yeah, now it's about the clothing and hiding in the bushes sort of thing.
Mm. And then on the flip side of that, I guess it's interesting because we look back at old style military uniforms like we were last week and talking about how those were so much more sort of fashion forward or a bit more flamboyant, but there's a lot of sort of that modern day military style and camouflage that it's made its way into high-end fashion and sort of streetwear as well, eh?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's definitely moved into popular culture.
Yes, I remember when I was a child, I really wanted it was like a sandy colour camouflage and it was a big kind of, it was like a big sheet and I really wanted it for my bedroom and my parents were like, no, you cannot have that. It was an army surplus and I was like, that's so cool. But
army surplus is a crazy store.
That was
a
crazy.
Is there one in Auckland as well? I just know the one in Wellington.
The one on K Road shut down about four years ago.
Right.
I think it's online now, but I remember like when I was younger, it was kind of like the fashion to wear the short kind of woolen, I think it's like a serge kind of khaki jacket, but it was so itchy that I couldn't wear it for long. I don't know how people wore it because it was so itchy.
And of course, nowadays you see anything being made out of kind of, you know, labels' own camouflage prints, like, you know, mini skirts, crop tops, you name it.
I love that sort of like early, I feel like it's kind of 90s or early 2000s when like pink camo and like blue camo started being a thing, which completely defeats the purpose of camo. But
I had a pink camo skirt just Hell for yeah. reference.
Hell yeah.
It was awesome. I used to wear it with my Paul Frank t-shirt.
Oh, nice. Oh,
awesome.
That sounds pretty stylish to me.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty cool.
Oh, well. Yeah, but you were ready for battle on a planet like Venus or something.
Yeah, I reckon. She was ready to battle her way through like high school or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is its own war field, really. It really is. Yep. Hey, thank you so much, Penny, for enlightening us on this. And I'm sure we'll all be thinking about camouflage for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much, Penny.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.